Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
For any of your garage door needs, such as purchase, install, or service and repairs, Harold's Garage Doors is your one-stop shop in North Mississippi. Don't let a faulty garage door disrupt your day. Call Harold's Garage Doors today at 662-223-0748.
You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Look who's early on this Sunday night. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to see you. It's Rebel Report Live. My name is Michael Borky, and yes, I am early. Pat, I'm starting this way just for you. We are 11 minutes early, and it's all for you, Pat. Glad you guys are with me. Thank you so much for being here, as you always are. The sun is still out, actually. We are so early, so you'll get to see the sunset behind me here. But glad you guys are here. Talking training camp. Ole Miss begins training camp this week. There's still a lot of previewing to do. There's still a lot of talking left to do because, you know, we're still a month away from the season beginning. But training camp begins this week. Football is back. Give it, just clap it up for that. Just really happy to see that. Lane Kiffin will do the media day thing on Wednesday. So he'll have a press conference, even though there's really not much that he can say that he didn't already say in Dallas, although he had a heavy heart there in Dallas. So might be more like hard football conversation on Wednesday. Of course, you'll get the player interviews as well. And then, boom, practice is here. Training camp is here. Haydad and I have been beating this drum for years. It's not fall camp. It's training camp. And I think people are starting to come around to it. We've even gotten Richard to correct himself. Instead of fall camp, he's saying training camp. So the movement is here. It's still a billion degrees outside. There's nothing fall about this weather. And Haydad and I's many years worth of work adjusting people's thinking is at least spilling over into Richard, if not more. So glad you guys are here. Thank you so much for being a part of the stream. But that's what we're talking about tonight is training camp. What can we learn over the next few weeks about Ole Miss that we don't know currently? And that we don't need games to find out. That's kind of the prompt tonight. I would love you guys to give me your input. What are you hoping to learn over these next few weeks? What can we learn over these next few weeks of training camp? Football is back. Please follow me, social media, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. If you're listening in podcast form, there's a whole heck of a lot more of you listening in podcast form. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. I am planning on doing at least one live watch-along this season for the LSU game. Maybe a lot more if that goes well. We will have to see. But in the meantime, don't forget to do both of those things so you never miss a second of this very podcast that is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Injuries sometimes happen in life. Sometimes, if you're like me, they happen when you're running with your dog and there's geese in the abandoned lot in your neighborhood and you decide, because your dog loves chasing geese, that you're going to run with him to go chase the geese, and you step off the curb the wrong way and you sprain an ankle. That happened to me. Sometimes, though, it's a little bit more serious. If you have been personally injured, or you may have a small business or contract dispute as well, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm has got you covered. Saltillo, Mississippi is where he's located, but he can service you if you're in Mississippi. 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, personal injury, small business, and contract disputes. You are not just a number with the Gregory Law Firm. He will build a relationship with you because he will actually care about you, his fellow Mississippian. So check him out, the Gregory Law Firm. So what can we actually learn at training camp? There's a few things that I'm watching for. In like a free space is health. But I'm not talking about just stay healthy. That is an obvious camp storyline is, do they stay healthy? I am looking at a few guys, and not just the obvious ones, like what kind of participant is Juice Wells? What kind of participant is Princely Umanmielen? Both of them had off-season injuries work done. There's been some doubt whether or not that they would be available by week one. Luckily for Ole Miss, the schedule sets up to where they don't really need them in week one. So how healthy are they? How do they look? But it's not just them. I mean, remember Micah Pettis got hurt last season. It's been a while. There's nobody that's like expecting him to miss time or anything. I'm not saying that, but how does he look physically? How does he look coming off of that injury? Those three guys, especially, I'm looking at. Also, Jackson Dart. I mean, I know he went through spring, but physically, how does he look? Is he moving around? Those kind of things. Just because they finished the season or they didn't have injuries that people were talking about being a problem going into the season doesn't mean you shouldn't, you know, just be on the lookout for how they look physically. How does Micah Pettis look? Is he in good shape? Is he physically ready to go coming off of that injury? Princely and Juice and those guys. So health in that regard, aside from the free space, can they stay healthy is something that I'm watching. And then, of course, a few position battles. Offensive line's a big one. Now, we're not going to know how good they actually are up front. We're not going to know how improved they are until really Kentucky comes to town. Now, if Wake Forest and Georgia Southern are pushing them around, well, then you've got an issue, right? So we can find out before Kentucky how bad they are, but we won't really know how good they are until Kentucky. Kentucky's got some dudes up front on the defensive line. I know that might not be a particularly like great team. That's not one of the matchups that you guys are just jacked up and excited about. I'm sure, I mean, the stadium will be packed and all that, but you know what I mean. When people are talking about the 24 season, nobody brings up, oh, I'm so excited for the Kentucky game. But that Kentucky game will be a great test for how good Ole Miss is up front on the offensive line. I mean, all SEC preseason tackle guy might be a first-round pick as well. So they've got some guys up there. But what I'm curious to know, if we get any indication of who's running with the ones, and maybe that changes throughout the day. Maybe media access isn't so to where we'll even know whether or not there's a good picture painted there. But the position battles on the offensive line and how they are going to use or plan to use these portal guys paired with the returners is something to closely watch in camp. You know, are the Washington guys, boom, solid starters, like plug and play? Is Diego Pounds left tackle guaranteed like people thought he would be when he was signed? What's Jerquan Scott's role? Are they doing different things with center? Are they expecting to rotate a little bit more on the offensive line than they have in years past under Lane Kiffin? That's something to watch for. The position battles, it feels like basically all of them on the offensive line and how they plan to blend the portal guys with the returners. That is the biggest training camp question is offensive line. Who's going to play? Who from the portal is going to start, et cetera, et cetera. Every question that you can ask about offensive line play is the biggest storyline for Ole Miss going into training camp, going into the first 4 weeks of the season, going into the Kentucky game. It all depends on them up front on the offensive line. So that's the big one. That is simply the biggest storyline. Also, there's a few other position battles, running back as well. Again, it's hard to know how much access we're going to get to practices to know exactly who's running with who and things like that. But, I mean, Ole Miss brought in what feels like an army of running backs in the transfer portal to go with Ulysses Bentley. So is Bentley going to be running back one and everybody else is going to complement him? What kind of role is Rashad Amos going to have? I mean, I know that physically he's different than the other one, so maybe his role is clearly defined, but you know, that's something that they're going to have to figure out, because even though Henry Parrish has been at Ole Miss, for example, that they've got to figure out carry distribution and things like that. Quinshon had 270 carries or whatever it was last season. Somebody has got to get the ball at least that many times, if not more, and who is that going to be, and how are they going to divvy up carries? Also, wide receiver, as you guys hear me all the time, I think that people are so focused on not Trey Harris and Jordan Watkins and Juice Wells that it kind of makes me laugh sometimes. But will they be able to rotate more at that position than they have in years past. Lane Kiffin very clearly has zero tolerance for wide receivers that do not do the right things every time. And that paired with the hurry up style that they do, and also some lack of depth, it's all kind of mixed together to create a situation where they play very, very few wide receivers. Are they through camp going to be able to develop some depth and then also use it in the first four games that they shouldn't have issue with? And who's that going to be? Who's going to be that fourth and fifth option at wide receiver? Is it as simple as Caden Lee? If you listen to Jackson Dart at Media Days, it's Caden Lee. But is Aiden Williams ready to take a step forward? Is Deion Smith going to help them at all? Those are the kind of things that can get learned and developed throughout training camp. I think they are, borderline, if not elite, for the three starters at wide receiver. But can they spell those guys, especially early this season? And can they have true depth? We'll find out. Maybe not until the season begins, but that's something to keep an eye on through training camp. The linebacker position as well, how they're planning on using Santarian Perkins and T.J. Dudley, although he has changed his name. I guess it's Dottery now. Am I saying that correctly? I'll make sure that I hammer that home out of respect, because I believe he made that change for a very personal and cool reason. So I got to make sure that I get that right moving forward. But, how are they going to use those guys? Perkins is listed at DN now. Will he play any true linebacker? Is he simply going to be on the edge? Is Chris Paul ready? Has he acclimated well enough? I know Kari Coleman's there, but what about behind them? There's very little proven depth at linebacker. So who could those guys possibly be beyond what you think you already know there? I know that a lot of people, rightfully so, are going to be very closely watching the defensive backs and whether or not they can hold up in practice against Harris and Wells if he's practicing, and Watkins, et cetera, because they need those guys to come in and come in right away and be great. I mean, there's so much known about this team, but there is a lot that will be learned during training camp, at least by the coaches. The only downside to talking about and covering a college team is you don't really get to see near as much as you do from the NFL perspective. I read Saints content every day from Nick Underhill and Mike Triplett at NewOrleans.football. And I mean, they have full field diagrams and pass charts of every ball that Derek Carr threw in practice. So it's a totally different deal. But those are the things that I'm watching the closest. It's offensive line and who's running with the ones during the access that people get, who appears to be stepping up at backup wide receiver, who appears to be getting the majority of the snaps with the ones at running back. And then do the new defensive backs look ready to play on an island like people think that they can? Who might be the twos at linebacker? Those kind of things. Will we have those answers? I don't know. But whenever there is access to practice, whenever there is media opportunities, those are the things that I'm going to be listening very, very closely for. So often, people just kind of bypass and ignore press conferences, but I think that there's a good bit that we can learn, especially from the players, if you listen closely. So hopefully we get some good stuff over the next few weeks, and glad that football is here. So we'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Just tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So if you're a Mississippi business and you need tech in the office, any kind of tech in the office, absms.com. Tell them I sent you. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They've got 16 locations in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard, and they make you their priority with local loan servicing and decision-making. So you don't need to get on Zoom or on the phone with somebody out of state. All you need is to go to a Priority One Bank location, and you'll sit down face-to-face with somebody because they make you their priority. Tomorrow is National Wing Day. I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. After soccer practice, might need to go get some wings tomorrow. Little man likes wings, but he's still kind of unsure about them. Like he eats them, but then like bites the bone and he's like, I don't like that. I just want to eat the whole thing. So we're working on that. Not going to lie, you've been kind of tuned out on sports this weekend. Went and saw Deadpool and Wolverine. Great movie. Dude, I've been locked into the Olympics. I know, you know, the opening ceremony was at absolute best controversial. There's much better adjectives you can use to describe it. But I've chosen not to, check out completely because of that. And I've loved it. I mean, I was watching Simone Biles this morning and she's awesome. Gymnasts are incredible, incredible athletes. Swimming has been electric. I watched Kevin Durant be unbelievable earlier today. So I've enjoyed the Olympics. I always watch it. I really, really like it. It's a shame that it's surrounded by crap, literally, like the crap-infested river, and that the athletes in the Olympic Village are being fed inadequately. And the beds that they gave the greatest athletes in the world when they compete at the highest level and the pinnacle of their sport, they've got these garbage cardboard beds. Like, it's all bad. Aside from that, I love watching Americans compete and win on the highest level. I absolutely love it. Almost missed it again. Glad you didn't. Borky not repping his PTG gear yet again. I wear it all the time. So get out of here, Pat. Also, I beat you here. Training camp, you always want to come out healthy. Absolutely. And, you know, they do physical things. Like, they play. They practice. But Kiffin does take a more of an NFL approach with practices and camps and things like that. He does. They're more injury conscious. They're just not beating each other's heads in. I remember that there was a narrative going into last season around training camp about how one camp in this state was so much more physical than the other, and they're doing it old school and all that. And, you know, you saw how that worked out. So, been in the low 80s and lots of rain this week in North Mississippi, not really missing the extreme heat, but it's muggy. Yeah, it was only like 85 today, but it was hot as you know what. I mean, just sweating my absolute tails off. So, yeah. Going live for LSU when no game time has been announced. That'll be interesting. Hasn't it? It's going to be at night. What do you mean there's no game time that's been announced? It'll be 7 o'clock. I mean, I'm going to double check, but we did the whole schedule time release thing, and LSU does not play a single home non-night game. I don't think they play a single non-night game at all, but definitely not at home. Yeah, it's a night game. It's 5 to 7. So, yeah. Is Deion Smith on campus? He's in Oxford. He is in Oxford. We'll find out this week if he's practicing. We shall see. You will not be watching the LSU live stream. You'll be in Tiger Stadium. May God help me. Yes, that is a good way to describe it. Something you were thinking about the other day was how there's always a game every year. Ole Miss has an offensive explosion against an SEC team. 2020 Bama and South Carolina, 21 Arkansas, 22 Auburn, 23 LSU. Who would that be this year? Ooh, that's a good question. I wouldn't be surprised if they drop like 45 on Oklahoma. Not that there is worse teams on their schedule. There is. So, I mean, there's a chance that it happens in other ones too. But coming off of a bye, I could just see, especially what I think Oklahoma will be at that point, one of those, wait, Ole Miss did what kind of games around the country? I think it would be Oklahoma. You consider the O-line and running back questions lumped together, not worried about the passing game at all. You know, I'm not worried about the running game at all from a season-long perspective because Lane showed you last year, and Charlie Weiss Jr. too deserves credit for this, and they do it every year. They scheme successful rushing offense. It's what they do. They were bad on the offensive line relative to what their record and what the team was by the end of the season. just not good enough up front. But they still had a successful rushing offense. The key for Ole Miss this year is, have they taken the step forward to beat or compete with a Georgia, win playoff games, et cetera? But you know they're going to run the football successfully. You know they're going to have a good rushing offense. Well, what I'm going to be closely monitoring, if you will, is can they, if they get a 17-point lead in the third quarter against Kentucky, just run them to death? You know what I mean? And then can they physically match up when Georgia comes to Oxford? First four games are as close to a preseason as you can get. No kidding. No kidding. Think Ole Miss will be number one in the nation by Halloween. Let's see. They would have to be undefeated, and they will only be an underdog in, and that's not set in stone, but they would only be an underdog in one of those games. So you're not, you know, you're not really going that far out on a limb there. The D-line is going to be great, and just the front seven has to stop the run. Can't wait for the spring practice narratives. No kidding. Just now joining in, but your biggest questions or things you'll be paying attention to in the fall camp is the offensive line, secondary, backup receivers, and running backs battling out. For some reason, I have this odd confidence in the secondary. I know that the corners are they're questions, right? And then depth at corner, too. I mean, what happens if they suffer an injury there? I know people like, you know, like A.J. Brown, for example. Graves was an important transfer. But when you look at who the defensive backs are, one was a Nick Saban Alabama defensive back that played a lot on last year's exceptional defense and only didn't start because of Kool-Aid McKinstry and those guys. But when he played, was exceptional, and it was an Alabama defensive back. You know exactly what you're getting with an Alabama DB. Would be starting there if not for Pete Golding being at Ole Miss. And then Hamilton on the other side would be starting at Alabama this year if not for Pete Golding at Ole Miss. So considering, you know, who's coaching that defense at Alabama now and what that staff is and how good of a coach DeBoer is in general, like what Alabama is and the kind of players that they're still able to get even in the post-Saban era, having those two guys as your starting corners should provide you comfort. There is a much higher percentage of a hit rate for Ole Miss's two transfer defensive backs than most transfers, considering who wanted them and who had them. And you already know what you got at safety. Trey Washington's just really, really freaking solid. You've already got John Saunders back there as well. And they portaled in that spot very well on top of that. So I even though there are quote-unquote questions, I think that the secondary is going to be more than fine. I'm far less concerned about what the secondary is going to be than I am on the other side on the offensive line, than I am about linebacker depth. You don't think much of anything comes out of fall practice? Training camp. Come on, Terry. No, I'm kidding. Kiffin tends to keep it close to the vest, just like Saban. Very true. So, you know, it's fun to talk about, but, you know, when it comes, hopefully there's enough access to at least to get a picture on some of this anyway. Some of your favorite narratives will be Nico at Tennessee and Arch Manning playing second team reps while idiots call for him to start. What do I think Judkins' stats will be at Ohio State this year? Henderson's there, and Henderson's going to get his. That offense is going to run the football a lot. I mean, he's going to get carries. They play a lot of bad teams. He's not getting 270 carries, though. He might not rush for 1,000 yards this year. I don't know. 800 to 900 yards, probably. We'll get a lot of carries against the Akrons and Western Michigans on the schedule. But they have Purdue and Indiana and Northwestern. But, man, they're at Oregon. They're at Penn State. Like, these are going to be – Ohio State's offense is going to be really tested, and he shares the backfield with an equally as good back. So it's not going to be like what he had at Ole Miss. Oh, Brandon, you troll. Ole Miss is going 8-4 this year, and Kiffin is headed to the NFL. If Ole Miss goes 8-4 this year, no NFL team will touch Lane Kiffin, but you troll. Underrated stat last year is that the defense didn't give up more than 28 earned points, but twice, and the two games where they did was a significant talent deficiency. They were very good relative to, one, it being a first year in the system, and some of the talent holes that they had. What would the narrative be if Ole Miss loses three games during the regular season with the third loss coming in the Egg Bowl? I'll tell you what it is. Failure. That Lane Kiffin failed. It was a failure of a season. That the narratives will be he isn't a big-time coach. Isn't a coach that can handle pressure. That kind of stuff will be the narratives. And we'll talk about the failure that was the 2024 season if they lose three games, including one of those to this Mississippi State team at home. Absolutely. Without anyone to compete for the quarterback job, you want to see how much of a step forward Dart takes. Very little necessary. I mean, even Lane Kiffin said that at Media Days. He was like, there's always area for improvement, but Lane seemed to be very, very pleased with where he is. There's a couple of like the film junkies that think that there's still some improvement that he can do on, seeing the field a little bit better. And those are things that you can improve on. But his deep ball accuracy, his intermediate to deep throws last year were so much better than they were in 22. But he still can improve a little bit there, and he can protect his body better as well. O-line and secondary, you would not use the word elite. O-line has a lot more depth and will be better. Secondary depth is a question right now, and can the transfers live up to the expectations? Another one, I want to see Dart do enough to be taken out early in each of these four preseason games. Younger wide receivers need reps, and you want to see the younger quarterbacks. If there's any knock on Ole Miss last year, they didn't do that enough. Like to Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech and ULM, they needed to just beat the piss out of those people, and they just weren't able to put it away because they kind of really geared down in games like that. But I'm with you. I think that in an ideal world, Dart in those games doesn't play in a fourth quarter. Smith is a game changer at wide receiver. I sure hope he plays. He will be a difference maker if so. We shall see. Highest impact freshman this season? Ooh, highest impact freshman this season. Is it okay if I say none of them? That I don't think any freshman will have a big impact on this team? I mean, I think a couple of those guys on the defensive line are going to play some, but I really don't foresee any freshman really having like a big time role on this team. Is that a cop-out answer? I think that's a cop-out answer. But you want Oregon to upend Ohio State's dream so badly? Man, and here's the thing about that too. Don't laugh. I'm serious. Ohio State's got to beat Iowa the week before. They've got to beat Iowa the week before. And you think that Iowa defense with a retooled-ish offense that you think might be a little bit more competent is just somebody that Ohio State is going to just walk through? I don't think so. But, man, I'm with you. That Oregon game is going to be absolutely wild. So you'd rather Ole Miss beat Ohio State to end the dream. Fair enough. If Ole Miss loses to State this year, that won't be their third loss. It would be the fourth or the fifth. I agree with that, because if they're going into that State game with a 9-2 record, they're not losing, because you still have a team that's very much engaged. You're still making the playoff with a win. That's not a game that they're losing. That's not a game that they're losing at all. Part of you would like to look into a crystal ball and see the different scenarios of success and failure. I know no one in here wants Ole Miss to fail, but it's something interesting to think about. It is. It is. If not freshman, how about the highest impact transfer? It's Walter Nolan. I know why he was so highly sought after, why he's getting the salary that he's getting and things like that. Hearing his teammates talk about the physical freak that he has shown them that he is, and he should be highly motivated in what is essentially a contract year. I mean, this is his draft year, right? If he's going to be a first-round pick, it's got to happen now, you know? So a highly motivated guy with those physical attributes in that position is a team changer more so than basically every other position besides quarterback. Obviously, quarterback's the most important position on the field, but having a dominant defensive line, a defensive tackle, defensive lineman like that, one that is so feared, changes everything about how an offense has to approach you. So that's it. Can't think of a breakout freshman this year, but you think the biggest second string person is probably Aiden Williams. That's a really good one. You know, they really have high praise for Caden Lee, but they're two different receivers, or at least I think they are. Also, you know, Daquan Wright is somebody that I think is going to have a bigger role than people expect. Not because Prescorn's not going to be anything short of really good. I think that using more than one tight end is something that they want to do, and they're going to want to protect Prescorn some. And I think that he's going to play a lot more than people expect him to. And having him as Prescorn's backup is very, very useful. Very, very useful. And they've got some depth there, too. I mean, Hudson Wolf, knock on wood, maybe he can finally stay healthy, you know, and provide them something. So, tight end room looks good. Taking Caden Lee over Williams, and then follow up as Williams is badass. So you honestly think Aiden Williams will transfer after this year because of minimal quality reps? Well, that would be a mistake, though, because everybody in front of him is leaving. You know what I mean? So, you know, he and Lee and others might not get that many reps at wide receiver unless they start rotating more than they have in years past. But leaving would be a mistake because next year, this offense is, I mean, of course they'll attack the portal too. I'm sure they will, but in theory, everybody's gone. So that would be a mistake. Same thing with these freshman defensive linemen. I had somebody ask me, like, you know, how is Ole Miss going to hang on to all of them? And maybe they don't. It's the nature of college football. But these guys that came in, these four blue chip freshman defensive linemen, I mean, look at who's gone after this season. Ivy, Nolan, Pegues, Anu Manmielen are all gone. Chris Hardy is going to be gone. Akello Stone's going to be gone. So, again, they're going to portal some too, but there's your opportunity. So, for sure. Wide receivers are going to cause sleepless nights for several DCs this year. Because who do you choose to stop? Okay, Trey Harris is the most complete receiver on the team. Okay, bracket him. Then what are you going to do? You're going to have one-on-one coverage with Juice Wells and, I mean, Jordan Watkins? How do you, if the three of them are healthy, how do you try to stop with Prescorn in the mix as well? How do you stop that offense? How do you stop it? What do you do? Just proven quality, high level wide receivers. Who's able to stop that? I mean, Georgia, but that's only if they can get after the quarterback. Don't discount the two old incoming O-lineman from Washington. I'm not. I talk about them often. But I do think that Nolan himself will provide a bigger impact, you know, generally speaking. But they need those guys to produce as well. Being really good this year will bring in another healthy portal haul. And it'll bring in a lot of financial capital to make sure that the portal haul is good. You know, it's a two-way street, right? Not only will players want to play in said program, but the fans will also be really incentivized to make sure that the players are compensated when they choose to play for said program. So, ooh, this is a good question. Who is more likely to reach 1,000 yards, Watkins or a healthy Wells? Ooh, that's a good question. I think Watkins. Wells is more high-level explosive, but the way they use Watkins when he's healthy, the exploitation of mismatches. And I mean, you know, that's kind of a dumb thing to say because they can exploit mismatches with Juice too. This trio of wide receivers really is. I know they had DK and AJ on the same teams. I don't know if they had a third that was like this, and you know there were some health issues with DK. But man, this trio of wide receivers. I mean, Ohio State has a group that's this good, but I mean, there's 128 programs in college football that would immediately trade their three best wide receivers for Ole Miss's three best wide receivers, like without even thinking about it. Boom, right away. Biggest question for the offense, can Dart learn to slide? Oh, yeah. The receiver room is why you'd like to bet that they pass it more this year if you want to hold up your end of the bet. I still think that the carries versus passes will be run more. But I'm in. I have not seen that movie, Scott. I need to look that up because I don't get that reference at all. I'm sure it's great, but I don't get it at all. Watkins is the current equivalent to a Cody Core or Vince Sanders, such a solid player and very reliable, and will be on an NFL roster next year. The Saints right now, that they have Olave and Shaheed, and that's great, but Jordan Watkins would make the team if he was in New Orleans camp right now, because they just need a third option that will run clean routes and catch the football. And they don't have that right now. Guys are kind of disappearing in camp. Dart has another great season and wins 10 games, so I think he will go in the first round. What is a great season? I think he can. Hell, J.J. McCarthy went in the first round, right? So certainly Jackson Dart has the skill set to do it. It feels like this is a less quarterback desperate draft than last year's, but it kind of always ends up being a quarterback desperate draft, sans Matt Corral's year. But I do think that he can. Just not sure if the needy teams are as available, or the opportunities are as available as this past year's draft. Yeah, you really can say that at every position for this Ole Miss team, what they're losing after this year. But man, that's what they've done such a good job in the portal, and they've had a lot of losses and they've recovered. It'll be tough to do, but it's funny to think that this team could be more successful than last year and they could lose more games because of the playoff. Yeah, very true. Very true. So you guys are great. I've got to hang it up. I've got a couple of things that I've got to take care of. Appreciate you as always. Training camp is here. It is here. We will try to do our best to talk about everything that happens during training camp. Very, very exciting. Football is back. Will it be August the next time I talk to you? It will not. Nope, it will not. I forgot what day it was. But anyway, training camp is here. So thank you guys. Like the video, subscribe, all that good stuff. Leave a comment if you're watching after the fact. DJ Gregory Law Firm, bringing you every edition of the Rebel Report. Appreciate you guys. I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday will be later. We've got a makeup soccer practice on Tuesday. 8:15 is the target time on Tuesday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.